Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world. What it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now.
Wonder what you tell me now.
Oh, fire.
color. Everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody.
Come on down, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up, all your teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the babies.
Teach the children.
Teach the children.
Teach the babies.
Teach the children.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory for this awesome and wonderful, awesome June 28, 2021, a very special day to our family, grateful and thankful for the man that I call my father, my bonus dad. I thank God for Papa Holloway as he celebrates his wonderful birthday today and had an opportunity just to laugh with him a little bit, Jalea and I, and enjoy some of the humor he always allows us to experience in his presence. So just want to thank God for this special day as we celebrate his birthday on our Blog Talk radio show. I just want to thank God as always for your presence, for you being here, grateful and thankful that God continues to just allow grace to be upon you, mercy to be upon you, so that you have the ability to be able to be in the midst of still yet another day, another opportunity to be on this earth. My name is Tammy Storr, and I will be joined by Minister Jesse Storr after our prayer this evening. And as always, just want to thank you for your presence. Thank you once again for you being a part of that number where two or more gather together. We call upon the mighty name of Jesus that we already know that he's in the midst because the word does not come back void. It does not lie. And that's what it tells us in the word. So every week, I have to give you the proper respect and say thank you for getting on early and being here in agreement with our special opening prayer. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, as always, we just want to say thank you for another day, another opportunity to be able to come before your throne, to be able to be grateful and thankful for all of these individuals that have made their way to the Blog Talk radio show tonight as we speak about goodness promotes oneness. And for those of us that have had an opportunity to experience oneness, know that it's a good thing. And I just pray that tonight that there will be some nuggets that will be dropped into your spirit that you will be able to receive and be able to be a better individual just because of something that you've heard tonight. If it's a blessing to you, we just ask that you take an opportunity to share with another brother or sister. There may be just a few nuggets that you take down and choose to write down and share with someone else. And we just want to say thank you, Lord, for those that through the obedience of you and hear your soft, sweet voice, asking them to be able to share through transparency on our Blog Talk radio show tonight so that others under the sound of their voice will be able to be blessed by them as well. We know, Lord God, that you put us on a special assignment, meaning Minister Jesse and I, but we know that there's so many others that you have a word in season that you desire for them to share as well. And so we just open up that opportunity for them tonight, Lord God. We just never know when and how we might bless somebody else until we're willing to be able to share. So as always, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to come together, learn about this thing called oneness that you've created so perfectly. But we know, Lord God, that there's nothing that we can do, however, that can be perfect. Even though we know you created it to be perfect, there are things that we will do that will challenge that perfection because of being a human being. So there are times when we have to exercise our right to be able to forgive one another, to be able to study a word called goodness and understand and know what it means to have goodness in your heart, to be able to respond in a good way. And I just pray tonight, Lord God, that we will understand and know that it allows us to be better individuals when we start to understand the fruit of the Spirit, dissect it, take it apart, and be able to figure out how to apply it to our daily lives so that we can be the individual that you need us to be, Lord God, for such a time as this awesome man of God comes and shares this word in season tonight. I pray blessings on top of blessings for him. I pray that he allow himself to be removed, as I will as well, and allow you to take over to be our mouthpiece and allow us to share through transparency everything that you desire for the listening audience to hear. As always, Lord God, be a blessing to these powerful, strong, God-fearing men and women that have made their way to the Blog Talk Show tonight, because we know, Lord God, that they will be a blessing to us as well. We love you so much, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence tonight, not only tonight, but we need you every step of the way. Everything we do, we need you, and we just ask that you continue to go and be with us, especially every marriage that's represented, those that desire to be married but still yet waiting for their perfect soulmate, and there are others that are engaged, ready to be married at the appropriate time. Bless them and give them the ability, Lord God, to recognize, know, and understand that it is a good thing when you come together in holy matrimony and experience that thing we speak about every week called oneness. So thank you again, Lord God, for allowing us to lean and depend on you and declare and decree your word, and we'll be able to see it come to fruition. We thank you, as always, for hearing our prayer. Holy Spirit, be with us throughout this entire session, as well as with our dear sister Leah Killings. And I just pray blessings on top of blessings for her, Lord God, Minister Leah, as she comes in after we do. And I just pray that you touch her body. You heal her like only you know how. We know, Lord God, that sometimes we go through things, Father, to be the example and to be able, Lord God, to show others how good and great you are. Sometimes it's just trials, it's tribulations that we go through, hurdles that we have to go over. But I know, Lord God, you said you never put more on us than we can bear. So I know that she'll be able to bear it. Just give her strength, give her courage, give her the goodness within her to be able to do it, Lord God, without any challenges, any issues. So heal her body, Lord God, from that ugly disease that tries to invade so many of our loved ones. And we come against that word called cancer and declare and decree total body healing upon our dear sister. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
We'll let the church say amen one more time. We praise God and God for my queen, for my wife, my workout partner, my best friend, my confidant. We give God our glory and honor on this evening. Summer is upon us, and we praise God. While the weather has been in the upper 80s, the humidity has been much lower, has been very variable. So either we getting more mature in our age and able to deal with the humidity, or the humidity truly is our friend this last week. We thank God for the fact or state of being unified or whole, comprised of two or more parts. It would allow us to come together as one. Genesis 2:24 reminded us that for this reason, a man and a woman, you know, they would eventually leave home. They would come together, and over the course of time, they will form one flesh. For God himself said it wasn't good that man should live by his lonesome. Now, I got to say that before we get started tonight, I truly have just a concern in my spirit. While I did not see the full show of the BET Awards, I was able to see some of the dressing that people wore as they went into the show, and then the antics of a couple of young men who happened to be black and who happened to have apparently engaged themselves in a lot of kissing and on live TV. You know, we have another commercial that comes on sometimes when two young men sitting on the top of a rooftop, and they are suggesting that with this particular medication they're taking, that it's still now safe for them to have sex. And I'm going to be honest with you. These are the kinds of things that truly grieve my spirit. And I'm not going to take note of your number if by me saying this, you know, you think it's a statement of hate. It's not a statement of hate. It's a statement of love. Because, see, if we really knew how the enemy attempted to use Europeans who brought our ancestors over here from the motherland, and on the way there, on the way here, sodomized not only men but also women, women in an effort to make sure they didn't arrive here pregnant, and men oftentimes for their pleasure and for them to really to just dog them out. And to see that we have gone so full circle to where in those times, you know, women would have to be scantily dressed and have to be willing to expose themselves at the whim of those Europeans who was running those plantations. And to now see some of the outfits that these women had on last evening going out to a public gathering, I just have to ask myself, have we lost our minds? Have we become so deprived of decency and of goodness? See, there's no goodness involved when we find ourselves having the need or the urge based on the fact that somebody is going to pay us some money to just objectify ourselves if we are women and punkify ourselves if we are men, to the extent that so many apparently are willing to do today. Now, this was not my original desire to share tonight, but it just grieved my spirit so that I would never have thought that in my lifetime, that when I grew up, that when, you know, if there was a chance for you to see a little bit of a woman's cleavage or a little bit of her thigh or something like that, that was a big, big thing. But to see people glorified and honored and lifted up with praise, with activities that are clearly detrimental, that are clearly opposed to, I don't know, whatever faith system you wanna say, Christian, Islam, Buddhist, Hinduist, I don't care what it is, there is just a rejection of human decency and goodness. So let me just get that off my chest right away, because it just grieved my spirit that we would embrace such a thing. A lot of it is because during the course of our lives, we will face experiences that shape us and make us into the person we become. And there is nothing more evident about life than the reality we accept or we create the person the experiences of life make available to us. For life will attempt to bring you and me both the good and the bad in all situations and from all experiences. And hopefully, over the course of our lives, we will be afforded an opportunity to internalize some form of system that would allow us to create barriers for ourselves. The challenge we have is ascertaining and extracting goodness in all of these situations. So we live in a world that is so focused on negativity that it makes it more difficult to look for and to believe all things can work together for good. Even in what I was just saying, I'm hoping that by the words that came out of my mouth, based on what I saw today, based on what people had been wearing, that there will be some good that will come out of that. Our orientation on how to respond to those things that happen in life is predicated on how we respond to the multiple interactions that we encounter in this journey, from being single and independent to become married and bilaterally codependent. See, the beautiful thing about oneness is that you learn the benefits of codependency. You learn the benefits of bilateral agreement and alignment. You find that it's not a bad thing, but it's truly a good thing. Well, what is goodness in the first place if it promotes oneness? It's about the quality of being morally good and virtuous in our approach to life and in the relationships we pursue and establish. When we contemplate the concept of goodness, we perhaps should expand and not just think about good from a perspective of, oh, did that taste good? Was that good when you ate it? Was that good when you... No, goodness is far broader than that. Goodness can, as we said, it's about a uniformity, or it's about a state of something that's beyond what we may give consideration to. See, goodness has a level of morality that we sometimes don't even begin to look at. We should think about goodness in terms of virtue, of righteousness, morality. How about uprightness, benevolence, compassion, concern? See, if we are married and our spouse can believe and can receive in their spirit and in their heart that we have true sympathy, that we have true patience and love, and that we're willing to forbear areas where they may need to grow and to develop, that there's a level of indulgence and thoughtfulness that would make that relationship something special. See, above all, that there's an element of friendliness. See, goodness is far broader and deeper when it relates to things of the spirit and the relationship that you have in oneness. It promotes oneness. Because when your spouse thinks, feel, and believe that you have a tenderness for them, that you have a good will, that you are truly concerned, and you are doing everything you can to understand their needs, there is nothing more powerful in the promotion of oneness when you look at the expansion of what goodness really means. And see, when we expand our concept of goodness, we can begin to see its value in the operation and realization of oneness. What would our lives be like if we were able to operate at all times with goodness? There is no doubt relationships are suboptimized when life experiences condition our way of thinking in ways contrary to the proper development of oneness. The bottom line is this. We cannot control all the things that life will bring our way, but we can control how we respond to the things that life may bring our way. So see, tonight, the key that we want to make available or give you is that regardless of what life has to offer, you and I and us, we have the freedom to decide what we will accept and what we will reject when it comes to the meaning of life. And over time, we will evaluate people and activities that come by demand and those that come by need and or desire. The activities and involvement of your life and my life, it will present us an opportunity to become the person we are today or the person we desire to become. You are the person God wanted you to be and to become today, and especially if you believe God brought you together with your spouse or your spouse-to-be, then you need to be working on how do you perfect goodness and your delivery of goodness in your relationship. Because when you become an expert in executing that, you will be far, far along the path of success in walking in oneness. See, no one was born to do what you are ordained and purposed to do. You are very unique. You are special in so many ways, and your spouse is special as well. And God presented your spouse to you for one simple reason, to perfect you. It's when the scripture says that we can become that good, that acceptable, that perfect will of God. And God's perfect will for you was to allow oneness to begin to promote this goodness, and goodness to promote oneness. It's interchangeably. Because, see, if you had oneness from the beginning, that you had no issues, no challenges, goodness would manifest itself automatically. But guess what? When most of us get married or desire to get married, what does the enemy do? The enemy begins to pour out particular flaws, begin to pour out things that you should be careful of, that you should be wary of, while you don't realize God sent them that way so that person might be used by God to help perfect you, become the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. See, we've got to learn to edify our spouse more than ever, more than you ever done before. You are the most important person in the life of your spouse. You must allow them to grow and to become all you need them to be, regardless of what life may have given them prior to meeting you. If you can't just accept the fact that your assignment is to be used by God to perfect them in their calling. Because again, it doesn't matter what life has poured out to you to this point, but when this day forward, you can make a determination as to how you want God to use you and how you want God to use you to help perfect your spouse. We're going to come back in a moment, and Tammy is going to share some of the examples of those things that perhaps occurred to you during the course of your life that allowed you to become who you are today. And perhaps you may be able to identify if there are certain challenges that you have or certain challenges that you think your spouse may have, that perhaps, again, since you had a different life, you had a different upbringing, at some point in time, perhaps you will grow to that point that where God will allow you, that he will use you to be a beacon, to be the conduit for you to be able to help your spouse become all that God wanted them to be. See, we have to be willing to be used by each other. And if we're willing to be used by each other, then God is willing to show us what we need to do to truly become everything that he ordained from the beginning. I'm sure all of us, none of us, would be opposed to becoming that good, that acceptable, that perfect will of God. None of us. I know I wouldn't. I know you probably agree. Nobody on this line would disagree that if they had an opportunity, they truly would want to become all that God has ordained from the beginning. We thank God tonight for an opportunity to come and give you just a little bit of what God has purposed and impressed in our spirit. Because God knows that without love, without understanding, without peace, without assurance, what would this world be? Even last night, we discovered today that the United States had gone over and bombed another nation. See, we got to pray not only for the United States, we got to pray for the whole world, because at the end of the day, we're living at a time, whether we realize it or not, that it does not take a lot, not a lot, for this whole world to come crashing down. We'll be right back, and then Tammy's going to share some more.
Pray, love will find us, and we. stay in the spot. All the shame we try to hide from the pain. I hope that you love again, and I want you to understand. You're my joy, girl. My love won't fail you now.
We said our goodbyes.
Just life in general. When we think about this word goodness, I mean, you gave us the description, you gave us the definition of goodness. And when I think about it, when you think about the state or quality of being good, you know, anything that we know being moral, excellent, think about virtue. I mean, these are things that we want to attach ourselves, excellence of quality. I mean, then when I take it a step further, Jesse, and I think about goodness and I think about, you know, really, when we really look at it, goodness is godliness. Who are we? Do we want to be more godlike that we attempt to say to ourselves often? But how many times are we truly allowing that to be what our life is and how we live our life? I think about so often that life in general can be so overwhelming. And the reason why it can be so overwhelming, Jesse, is because there's so much going on around us. You know, you think about death and you think about illnesses. When you think about, you know, things that's happening with our children and, you know, when we think about things that are going on around us in this world, you know, hatred as it relates just because of the color of somebody's skin or religion. And we think about even bombings, as you just spoke about going over to another country. You know, we know we have to protect the United States of America, but, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of communication in everything we do. And I hope and pray that tonight someone will grab a hold of this word that we are talking about tonight as it relates to goodness, because we know it promotes oneness. I mean, how many of us know if you're good, and you have all of these wonderful, you know, explanations of what goodness is that you have attached to you, you have no choice but to be an exceptional spouse. And so I only pray that tonight that you will get a better understanding of how important goodness is in your everyday life. And you have the ability to choose. Do I want to be good? Do I want to allow goodness to enter in? And how many of us know that you can't pull nothing out unless you put something in. And so if you're pulling that goodness into your spirit, into your heart, into your mind, when you get into those situations, you have no choice but to then be able to deliver it at the appropriate time to the appropriate person. And so often it's people that are closest to us that we have a tendency not to show that goodness. And that's why tonight is so important as we speak about it as it pertains to oneness, because our mayor, our children, our spouse, you know, those that are in our family, whether, you know, those are coworkers, people that we spend the most time with, that's where we got to make a difference in how we respond. When I think of goodness, and I think about different examples of how we can still show goodness, even in the midst, unfortunately, of things that have gone wrong, that has devastated us in our lives. When individuals go through bereavement, they have issues because they're wondering, why my loved one, why my mom, why my dad, why my sibling, why my child? Don't let us get an illness that can take us almost out of here. Then we're wondering, oh, the world is about to come to an end. It is just horrible. So how are we looking at these areas that we know that can cause devastation to us if we don't attack it the right way or approach it the right way? I tell you one thing that just, you know, I have to say, and I know Jesse constantly gives not only her but her husband credit so often on things that they're doing and how they approach life. And I think about my sister Deborah quite often, and I think about the state that she's in. And you know what? It's okay sometimes to question God. I think, oh, why? You know, and that is one that I do question. Lord, I just want her healed. I just need her healed. And I know her husband has done such a phenomenal job being her caregiver and being there for her. But that's a situation that can almost take you out of here and not want you to show goodness. But I've never seen that powerful woman of God that has been a lover of Christ for as long as I've known her, that taught me when I was a little girl in Sunday school, that has always believed in God and always served God in a mighty way. And I pray that God continue to allow her to have that mindset to exemplify goodness all the time. So I want to go into just a couple areas of examples. You know, there's so many we can use, and I'll just use one. You know, when we think about, you know, our lives in general, and one of the areas is early childhood, which we define as birth to 12 years old. Because how many of us know that that's where we really do impart in our children? That's where we really can make a difference. That's where their little brains are starting to grow. That's where they're looking at us as parents on what to do and how to do it, how to respond, those kind of things. So when we think about early childhood and we think about our children, you know, it's when a child learns that goodness is not only a virtue, we spoke about that word, but a practice. Are you practicing that around your children or grandchildren? They will find ways to create good things and make life better for themselves and everyone else in their lives if only we do right by helping them, coaching them along the way during those pivotal learning years. You know, we always talk about that early childhood learning is so key, so important. It really is. But how about them learning from us and our actions and what we do? So when I think about early childhood and I think about birth to 12, how were you disciplined as a child? I mean, some of us can ask ourselves that question, because normally how we were disciplined, and if it was really, really bad, and I know when my mother was growing up, the only thing that her mother and father would use were switches, and they used to have to go out and get their own switch and sometimes tie two or three together and put whips on them and on the kids. And my mother said she vowed at a very young age that she would never use switches on us. And I don't personally remember that she ever did, but I do believe I remember the belt. But what she did choose her form of discipline was the belt. But when she grew up, because she had such a hatred of those switches, she had to make a difference. So how was your childhood? Did you have brothers and sisters that helped you develop social skills? You know, your parents definitely will teach you, but if you got older siblings, you do have a tendency to look at them. That's why if you think about it, children that have younger siblings, they talk and walk a lot of times much faster than the older siblings because they're watching the behavior of someone so close to them and they want to do that. So they're picking up that behavior. And so how many of us know that even in that early childhood, we can't allow children to act any old way because then the younger children are going to come behind them and think that's okay, and it's not. So we got to do our part. We can't get too tired to keep disciplining. I know some of us, especially if there's years between our kids, that we say we're getting a little too tired and we let the youngest ones get away with a whole lot. I know that happened in my family, and I know what happened in my immediate family now. It does happen, and I just pray that we continue to do our part to do better. So when I think about it, what activities growing up do you really feel, think, and believe that helped you, that now you can go back and help your children, your grandchildren in those early years that helped you grow, that helped make you a better person? Those are things that we got to think about to kind of help our children out. When I think about Galatians 6:10, it says, so then, as we have opportunities, let's do what is good toward all men, and especially toward those who are of the household of the faith. So one of the things we got to do is we have to ask ourselves, like even in says here, we got to ask ourselves, there are opportunities, but are you taking advantage of the opportunities and doing your part to bring up your children in the way they should go, to expose them to the Word of God, bringing them up and putting in them what the Word says for them to do at all times in different situations? I hope and pray we are. And when I think about Ephesians 4:29, you know, it reminds me so much because, you know, one of the things that I'm grateful for and I'm thankful for, you know, I don't think I've really ever experienced any bad words coming out of my husband's mouth, especially ever around our children. You know, we all get upset. I'm guilty. It's come out of my mouth. I've gotten upset before and gone there and had to say, please forgive me, Lord, please forgive me, to whomever I may have been talking to, where, you know, a word that may not be pleasing to God, a word that we tell our children is a bad word. Well, how are you going to tell them they're a bad word if, unfortunately, you're saying those words all the time? And that's what they're picking up, because when they're young, they're only going to pick up what you're saying. Think about it. If you put a child in a household with someone always speaking Spanish, what do you think they're going to speak? Spanish. If you put a child in a household that speaks English only, what are they going to speak? English. If you are in have a child in your house and you know those are the only words you're using, what do you think they're going to speak? Those same words. Until you correct them, possibly through discipline in something that you taught them, so they don't do it. So we got to be careful with what Ephesians 4:29 tells us. This is what we got to get in our heart, in our spirit. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but only what is good for building others up as the need may be, that it may give grace to those who hear. So we all know that it's up to us on how we're going to respond, how we're going to speak, and things we're going to do with our children so that they have a chance at life. Goodness is a good thing, especially as it relates to oneness. And so then when I think about it, and I think about one additional, and I'm going to go on one other one that is very important, and I could go to, you know, I thought about, you know, doing adolescent fine as 13 to 19, but that particular group of children, in my opinion, are just continuing to mature and grow on the things that we taught them from birth to 12. And so they are just now growing into themselves, and through observing and through doing the things they need to do, they're going to grasp. But there is an area that I think is even just as important as it is when you think about, if you want to look at the adulthood from the age, really not adulthood, but mature life from midlife from 40 on up. But the age I want to take a moment just to deal with is the ages that we call young adult that we define from 20 to 40. In my opinion, that's an important age. to make sure that when we're around our young adults that we observe and we kind of see what they're doing and we can encourage and continue to build them up. But that is an area that we do have to be careful. Because if we remember when we were at that age, we didn't want somebody telling us what to do. We didn't want someone that was always over our shoulder, not allowing us to grow, not allowing us to live our lives, but trying to pour back into us what we feel, think, and believe they should be doing at the ages of 20 to 40. But what we need to do is continue just to coax them, continue to impart in them wisdom. That's what God would have us to do. Because when I think about it, and I think about 1 Timothy 4:4, it tells us, for every creature of God is good. You know, all of our children are good. Sometimes when they get to that young adulthood, we question sometimes, what kind of children did we raise? Did you grow up in my household? Did I teach you that? Or did you learn that from where you grew up? Or did you pick that up along the way? Because, you know, our children may depart slightly from the Word of God of what we brought them up to be. But they will come back if we give them the opportunity and we continue just to pour into them and not try to live their life for them. They're going to make mistakes. So how many of us know that as we make mistakes, it's good? When we make those mistakes, if we learn from them, they were all worth it. And so when I think about 1 Timothy 4:4, it says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. So we got to be grateful and thankful that God gave those children to us at birth. We couldn't love on our kids more when they were born, when they were itty-bitty infants. And as they continue to grow, we kissed on them, we loved on them, we nurtured them, we fed them, we clothed them, we provided for them. We couldn't probably give them any more love. I know I speak for our family. But then when I think about all of the love that we give, how often are we knowing and realizing that even though they make mistakes, that God don't make junk. God don't give us junk. He gave us something good. He gave us something for us to be grateful and thankful for, and that's what we need to do. When I think about that young adulthood between 20 and 40, let me ask you just a couple questions. What did you decide to do after high school to mature yourself, to grow? You know, some people have selected to go into the military. Some people have selected, let's do a trade school. There are others that wanted to go to college. And there was others that became entrepreneurs at a very young age. So whatever route you took, it makes no difference on how you should be as it relates to the words that you want to choose. Goodness can be created in all of those scenarios. It's in the mind. It's what you perceive. It's what you want to exemplify. I pray that God gives us all the ability to be able to do what we need to do to be the best that we can be. Did you get married or did you stay single? Did you have children or did you decide that that wasn't what was in your plan? Or whatever it is that you chose to do at that young age of 20 to 40, think about it. You chose to do that. And so I pray that we choose to just step aside and allow our children to make those same decisions, but just understand and know that there are things that come difficult. And when I think about Romans 12:2, if we continue to believe in our children, we will understand and know that we can declare and decree words over their lives. We can send them any texts or emails or whatever it is, because Romans 12:2 will remind them, and they all learned it when they were younger, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is good, well-pleasing, and perfect will of God. And that's where God desires us to be. And I pray that we all have that opportunity to get there, to be there, be all we can be. And in doing that, I want to just say in my closing that God will allow us to operate in goodness, especially when we understand and know it promotes oneness. Who would not want oneness in their life, in their marriage? And I pray that you continue to work together to experience that. And I leave you with Psalm 84:11, where it tells us, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. So I charge you, I encourage you, do your part to walk uprightly. God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God once again for the beautiful prophetic utterance of my wife and my partner in ministry. I hope you were able to accept and see what the theme is. In the theme earlier when we said you may have been brought together to perfect your spouse. Because in those examples, depending on where you may have come from, depending on your orientation as a human being in this planet, if you were born as the only child or if you were born with multiple siblings, it will have an impact on you as a person, and it will determine what level of refinement a spouse may make available for you. Because the whole purpose is to become, again, that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of God. And so when you look at those stages that we all go through, if we are so blessed, from early childhood to adolescence to young adulthood to middle age and beyond, you know, we hear the stories oftentimes of women going through menopause and men sometimes having midlife crisis. These are realities which require all of us continuously to be willing to play the role, to do everything we can to help our mate become perfected in God. That's part of our responsibility. And when we're able to understand that, something great begins to happen. So as we leave here tonight, we want you to make a commitment to goodness. Make a commitment to righteousness, morality. You know, make a commitment to having truthfulness and honorableness and honor, decency, and respectability for your spouse. Let them never feel where they are not loved or respected or understood. But pour out everything you can so that at the end of the day, there'll never be any question. Number two, study and internalize the attributes, all of those synonyms that we shared earlier that are associated with goodness. Pick out some and make a determination. I'm going to invest time in this particular area. I know for me, one of the great ones I believe that we all could embrace is simply Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit, that if we would ever get to the point to where we could perfect the fruit of the Spirit, oh, what a long way we would come. Oh, what a wonderful example we can be to everyone else. Number three, create an environment conducive to goodness internalization. Like Tammy said, can you have an environment where you're speaking possibilities, you are speaking visionary ideas, you are speaking things that have no limitation. Now I'm going to tell you, as a parent, when you teach this and when you expose this to your children, don't be surprised that at some points in time they may turn left when you thought they should have went right, or right when you thought they should have went left, because you have cultivated in them a belief that they can do all things, that there is no limitation. And as they begin to understand, as they begin to develop, as they begin to fine-tune the world as they see it, you must be able to maintain a level of patience, as Tammy shared just a few moments ago. Number four, always look for the goodness, even when the situation looks bad. This requires extreme discipline and focus. You know, our daughter, we received some news today that, you know, she had indeed torn an ACL. And it was disheartening. We all kind of knew it was the situation. But at the end of the day, when you get that final, after having it double-checked and second opinions and all of that, now your focus must be on the goodness. And that's where our focus is on now. What is the good about this? Now, what can we do to help her? What can she do to take advantage of what she's going to have to do different for these next few months? That's in everything we do. We got to make a commitment to look for the good. And number five, trust the God in you. Believe you have the ability to change lives and know you are born to be a peacemaker. We know we live in a world that is driving consciously and consistently thoughts into our mind of destruction, thoughts that say we can't do this or we can't do that. But we say, believe the God in you. Believe when God speaks to you in a small, still voice to say, don't even look at that situation the way the world may look at it. I've been chatting with a young man over the course of the last few days in an effort just to share with him that same meaning. Look upon the good of all things. That regardless of what happened during your life as a baby, as an adolescent, as a young adult, as whatever, now you've come into a relationship of oneness where goodness will promote that oneness. And although you've been through all of those trials and tribulations, although you didn't have the best in your own mind of growing up, God has now blessed you with a spouse. And in blessing you with this spouse, let you be committed to goodness, because it will indeed promote the oneness that we all desire. Father, it's our prayer tonight that the words that have been shared, that they went out, that they will not return void, but they will accomplish what you sent them to do. For everyone listening live right now, and for those that may be listening via the archives, we pray that these words will go out. It will prick hearts. It will change minds. It would edify. It would encourage. It would motivate. It will do everything that you ordained it to do from the moment you dropped it into our spirit to share. And so, Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you for being able to come on tonight and share with your listening audience this word, goodness promotes oneness. We also want to pray for our special minister that comes on behind us. She's battling an invader this evening, and we don't even want to say the word, but it's the number one killer in America, and we pray that it will be released from her body. And we ask you to come back and join her again. You have to dial back in at 9 o'clock and hear the beautiful ministry gifts of our sister, Minister Leah Killings. Until next Monday night, God bless you. God keep you. Pray for us as we pray for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Agape love.